Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Confessions of a Writing Addict. I am said writing addict, Laura Winter. Updates. There's 16 episodes now available on Kindle Vella for The Curse of Broken Shadows. It's my epic fantasy. It's been doing really well. I'm really excited about it. I've been getting really good feedback. I've got a couple good reviews out, and I'm just really excited. It's been a fun ride. Still working on that book. I'm 155,000 words into it. It's become a honker. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I am nearing the conclusion. Guys, it's going to be like 200,000 words. I don't know what I'm doing. It's all good shit, though. Like, things are happening. It's not like I'm just rambling on. It's like there's been a lot of action and all sorts of fun stuff. Anyway, I am still a little bit behind the Camp Nano pace. Had some things come up, obviously, with Kindle Vella coming out kind of surprisingly a couple weeks ago. One of those weeks kind of turned into a marketing madhouse. And so words didn't exactly come, but we're getting there. I guess I'm in the middle of a writing, not a writing slump. I am at the point in my book where I need to orchestrate an escape. And so my confession is I've had to go back and actually add a few things because I'm like, I did not prepare as well as I thought I did for this scene in some of my past stuff, which you can do that because it's a first draft, right? And I haven't gotten to those episodes that are published yet. Everything else there is solid, guys. Don't worry. But I was like, oh, I didn't prepare for this as well as I thought I did. And I realized it was missing a few elements. And so my confession is that my ability to foreshadow wasn't as strong as I thought it was in the beginning. But the nice thing is you can always do that as you're writing it and do it better, obviously, as you go through the drafts and things like that. And Parky has decided he is going to sit behind my monitor right now, so I do apologize for that. But writing escape scenes, that's what I wanted to talk about today. Basically, I wanted to kind of give you guys some hints, I guess, or some strategies to kind of help make it realistic. I was reading a book, I actually just finished it, and I had a really hard time with it because it felt like every time they escaped or every time something happened, it had never been foreshadowed. So it just kind of came out of left field. And I hated that. Like, I felt like I was being betrayed as the reader. I was like, really? Like, you're going to bring something brand new in right now? Like, it was extremely frustrating. And so I think that's kind of why I went back and I went through my writing and I was like, all right, where have I kind of screwed this up? Where have I not, you know, hinted enough that, hey, this might be important. You know, there are certain things that I've repeatedly bashed over my reader's head. Like, I continue to bring it up, which means, hey, if this might be important, maybe you should pay attention as to why this thing keeps getting brought up. But it definitely got me thinking and got me, I was like, oh, I need to make sure that I do this escape scene that I'm writing, make sure I do it better. I reached that point where I was like, I'm not sure I quite hit the nail on the head with how I foreshadowed it. So here are a few tools to kind of help make your escape scenes a little bit more realistic. And foreshadowing is number one. Don't let it come out of nowhere. You can do it every once in a while, like a surprise guest appearance. Somebody swoops in and saves the day, you know, at the last second, things like that. That's okay. But use it in moderation, right? You don't want it to feel, you know, like, oh, wow, they just conveniently showed up at the right time. You know, maybe you hint a few chapters before, like, you know, this character, oh, I wonder if they'll show up, or I wonder if how they're doing, or what's up with them. Like, just to have that character like, oh, right, like that character does exist. I forgot about them. Things like that. So not letting it come out of nowhere to help make it more realistic. The other way to kind of foreshadow is to have your character prepare. Whether they're planting some sort of weapon or some sort of tool that will help them escape whatever it is they're doing, or you just make a quick reference about it. You know, it does not have to be, you know, you look at this, the say you need a knife to escape. And you're like, I'm looking at this knife. I wonder if I can use this to escape. And then a chapter later, you use that knife to escape. It doesn't have to be so blatantly obvious. You can literally just make a reference. You know, they're running through a hallway and there's only one window, but it's, you know, it's a really tight fit. You know, maybe I could, if I keep running, I'll find something. And you run into a whole bunch of people, bunch of army, whatever, waiting for you. So you're like, oh shit, I got to turn around and go back to that window and just go with it, you know, things like that. So, you know, you just kind of quick reference, oh, there happens to be a window there, or, you know, you notice something about your escape route and you're like, you kind of dismiss it immediately, and then realize, oh, that might actually be the best thing I got. So things like that in foreshadowing. I had a little tool that I was using for the escape. And when I went back, I was like, I don't think I clarified this well enough. Or I don't think I gave it enough of a purpose when I was foreshadowing. And so that's what I was struggling with, and making sure that it felt realistic to the current scene, but also didn't feel like it came out of nowhere when I did get to the later scene where that object or that thing needed to be used. So foreshadowing to help make your escape scenes a little bit more realistic. The second one is, it doesn't have to be flawless. Clean getaways are boring. They lower the stakes. There are no stakes if you're just like, I ran down the hallway and ran out the front door and it was all good. Like, that's boring. Nobody wants to read that. They want to know the stakes. They want something suspenseful. So think about that and things in terms of, you know, what is something that your character can lose during this escape scene? Do they get injured? Do they lose some object that is on them that means something to them? Do they lose a partner along the way? You know, are they escaping and somebody gets left behind? Make it suspenseful. So make the reader feel like, oh my gosh, they might actually fail. Like, what happens if they do get caught? Like, you know, things like that. And so raise the stakes that way. It does not have to be flawless when this character is escaping. Give them something, make them fail in some way. Obviously, you can't have clean getaways. Or, you know, if you have a clean getaway, the reader's going to be like, oh, that was way too easy. Something's about to happen, right? So satisfy your reader that way, and don't make it feel like, you know, oh, they just like ran out the front doors and it was all good. That's kind of, there was a scene in a book that I'm reading now that was the exact same way. It was, you know, there were a few stakes right before, you know, this character escaped, and then they just ran out the front doors and got away. And it was just like, really? Like, it was that easy? So it was a little disappointing there. So definitely find a way to raise the stakes that way, so you don't have to make your escape scene flawless. The last one, and this book is what, this book that I'm reading and is what is making me think of all these things to kind of help, is to change the pacing. Be that you change with the emotions, you change, you play with the senses and the imagery of, you know, your character and the environment that they're running through or escaping from or whatever. Change the pacing. So play with those things. You know, make the reader feel those same emotions or experience this chase. And to kind of do that, to drive that tension forward and raise the stakes, is varying sentence lengths. I, again, this book that I'm reading, it was like 15 words a sentence, every single sentence in this epic fight / escape scene. And it was just like, it was describing it blow for blow. There was no change of pace. It was, you know, she swirls this way and her leg kicks up and then it connects and then it does, like, it was so boring. There was no change of pace whatsoever. You know, I felt no tension whatsoever. It was just like I was like reading like this long ass gymnastics routine, honestly. You know, where she jumps over them and flips and does a cartwheel, and I'm like, what? Just flip over the dude and kick him and move on to the next one. But to also be realistic and change the pacing, this does not mean drop a freaking conversation in the middle of it. You know, if you're in the middle of fighting, you are not going to be having a long ass conversation with the person you're fighting with. Like, come on now. So yeah, definitely mess with the pacing, you know, change your sentence lengths, you know, make them get hit a few times, make it hurt, make them dazed, make them trip, make them fall, make them hurt themselves, you know, lose use of your limb for a second, you know, things like that, that make the reader kind of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Like, raise those stakes, change the pacing, make them follow it, give it a good flow that way. So that's what I have for you guys for writing escape scenes. If you're interested, I do have another podcast where I talked about writing fight scenes, which is very similar to this. You can obviously use both. Obviously, sometimes escape scenes are also fight scenes. Sometimes they're just, you have to be super freaking quiet and try to escape and get out of here. So I will link that in the show notes if you guys want to check out the Writing Fight Scenes podcast and the tips there for you. So I will see you guys next week.